This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. North Sligo Athletic Club's Chris O'Donnell becomes the first man to be accorded the freedom of County Sligo. We'll hear from the Grange athlete about his fresh plans for the next phase of his international running career. Sligo's European surfing champion, Garage McDade, flies out to El Salvador this weekend for the Sports Global Tour Finals. He's on the programme, as are the three North Sligo surfers who are part of the Ireland team contesting the Junior World Surfing Championships in Peru next month. And Sligo GAA breaks new ground this Friday when the county enters a combined colleges football team in the Connacht Senior A Colleges Championship. Limo Gormley will explain the rationale behind that. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact details. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address if you want to get in touch. Well, a special recognition for North Sligo Athletic Club's Chris O'Donnell this week as he was granted the freedom of County Sligo by Sligo County Council at a ceremony in Riverside. It was in recognition of his athletics career to date. O'Donnell is a European mixed relay gold medalist from 2024, a two-time Olympian and a five-time national senior 400-metre championship winner. In a few moments, we'll hear from his coach, Roddy Gaynor, and from the Cathaoirleach of Sligo County Council, Councillor Donald Gilroy. But first to the man himself, who was accompanied by family and friends when he spoke to Ocean FM Sport on Wednesday at this special event in Council Chambers at Riverside in Sligo.
It's a huge honour to have, and obviously I'm really happy with kind of what my athletic career has turned out to so far, and I've had some honours, some achievements, but like this is right up there really, the recognition, and it's rare as well because every year, including this year, including last year, and next year, the following year, we always have something to look forward to, something I'm training for. You know, we have a 3-4 week break at the end of the year, and but then it's right back to training for the next one, and we rarely get a chance to like reflect on what's been achieved or what's happened. So it's really cool to have a day like this because, you know, you don't really get a chance.
You're here this evening with your family, with friends, with your North Sligo teammates, clubmates, former coaches, and just general connections from the region as well as local council representatives. And I was struck by your heartfelt words in your address here to the people in the chamber. We get a clear sense what Sligo and this sort of accolade means to you.
Yeah, I made sure to say that, and I didn't just say it because people were here. I do mean that, and I am someone who travels all around the world, and I'm always talking about where I come from, and they're well informed of Sligo. You know, even people who've never heard of anywhere outside of Dublin in Ireland, they know where I'm from if they're around me. And as I was saying as well, to get to my level, you do need help, you do need support. And the people who were here are obviously my family are here, but all the people from my club and people from my community, and they've all each in their own way been some sort of a support. So I'm really grateful for that. And it makes it possible because if I'm just going running myself, which is what I do, but it doesn't really feel like running for myself. And if I'm just doing that and nobody ever cheering me on or asking me how I'm doing or when's my next race or wishing me luck or supporting me when I'm abroad or even in the stadium itself, without that, it's not really possible, to be honest. So that's what made it happen.
You're based in Loughborough these days, essentially a full-time athlete. You're 27 years of age, so I'm guessing you'd like to think your athletics career is far from over.
Oh yeah, far from over. I'm not thinking about that day. It'll be a sad day, but I'm not thinking about it. My body feels really good. Like, I still feel like I'm 20, to be honest. This year I had a tough year of injuries, but that was my only first year. But now I feel really good now again. So my body feels really good. I look after myself, and obviously I'm aiming for a third Olympics. That's going to be in 3 years time or so. But there's many things along the way that I want to achieve as well, and beyond that, who knows as well. Like, I'm not saying I want that to be the swan song. You know, I'm not really thinking of that.
Yeah, your North Sligo Athletics colleagues, Michael Carney, Emma McAndrew, Niall Canning, they have put together a fabulous new athletics track in your home village of Grange. You must be bursting to get the running shoes out and have a go on that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it'll be handy when I'm home from Christmas and I won't have to be begging for lifts into town and things like that. So it's great to have, because I never had it when I was growing up. Like, the track that we had, the dirt track, was useful. But, you know, if you're thinking of high performance, we're kind of seeing it all across the country now. Facilities are getting better. So it's good that we're on par now. And I'm looking forward to seeing the results. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, maybe not in a year or two, but maybe in 3, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, what results have maybe people looked up to me, because I had an opportunity to look up to people. And so maybe people have looked up to me, and now also the track, like, I'm sure the participation numbers will increase in the sport. And like, it doesn't have to be athletics either, it could be any sport, or it could be whatever you want to be. But if I've helped that in any way, then I would consider that a job well done.
Okay, well, Roddy Gaynor, coach to Chris O'Donnell, this is a nice home award for your athlete to get.
Absolutely, Austin. I'm just delighted for Chris. You know, first man ever to get the Freedom of County Sligo, and I couldn't think of someone more fitting. You know, Chris's talent and the application of that talent to hard work is unbelievable, really. You know, he's relentless. He never leaves any stone unturned in relation to pursuing his goals and his dreams. It really sets him apart as a very unique sportsman to come from this county, you know. And it's elite level sport, and it's not without its challenges and its setbacks. And Chris would tell you about that. And like, 2025 has been a very challenging year for Chris with injury. It was the first time really that he had experienced some significant injuries and some illnesses, and it took its toll on Chris in the year. So to finish up and to, you know, get this in his home county, I think is really, really very, very befitting.
He's 27, and he would argue he's far from finished yet.
Oh, I can guarantee he's far from finished. I've recently renewed a new relationship with Chris on the coaching side, and we have some very significant plans into the future. We're going to be really engaging a lot of the type of training that has made Chris what he is over the years in terms of his strength. And, you know, it's 3 years to the next Olympics. And, you know, planning in athletics never happens 1 year to the next. You got to be looking longer term in terms of a cycle. So that's a really nice cycle of 3 years to build and to work on some really key components of his training and his fitness with a view to being in the next Olympics. Now, before that, you know, next summer we have the European Championships, and Chris very much intends to be there and be toeing the line with the Irish vest. You know, so lots of intermediary goals. But yeah, 27. Chris, the 400 metres is, I suppose you could describe it as an attritional event insofar as the training is so hard that it eventually takes its toll. But again, credit to the athlete that is Chris O'Donnell. His commitment to strength and conditioning, and particularly his conditioning work, is unbelievable. If, you know, I know you have a big interest in team sports and all the GA teams. If they watch Chris O'Donnell warming up and 45 minutes later see him finishing it, but an awful lot of that is to do with his conditioning and just being ready and making sure the body doesn't break down.
You spoke about 2025 being an injury and illness interrupted season. Athletes are going to have to go through years. There's going to have to be years like that.
Yeah, well, if you look at all of our very successful Irish athletes over the years, they've all experienced some setbacks in terms of injury. And it tests you. You start to look deep into your soul, into yourself, in terms of what are you about and what do you want. So, yeah, I mean, sport is never a linear step forward, progress year on year. And I think, you know, Chris knows that. You know, he's had some injuries in the past, but I suppose this was the most significant year with injury for him. And it's very frustrating, but that's what you go back and you get into your autumn and your winter months and you start thinking, right, I'm building the layers again. And that's what Chris is doing right now. It's like building the foundation of a house. If that base is not solid, it will crumble. And, you know, that's an awful lot of what we're looking at with Chris at the moment.
We may see him on start list for indoor events in the new year, but Chris O'Donnell is ostensibly an outdoor athlete.
Yes, he over the years, in terms of the profile of a 400-meter runner, Chris is more suited to running the outdoors. Indoor racing over 400 requires you to run as close to your personal best over the first 200 and then be very strong and try and hold on. That's never really been the game of Chris. He's much more of a floating athlete who have his own lane the whole way around. But having said that, we are absolutely considering some indoor races in 2026 for Chris, you know, as an intermediary to have him ready for the outdoor season.
So as Chris works through his plan for the next 1, 2, 3 years, which, as he's indicated, will hopefully culminate in qualifying for a third Olympic Games, is part of the challenge for people working with him, like you, to kind of hold him back and get him to pace himself?
Well, you know, the younger Chris O'Donnell had to be held back. The 27-year-old Chris O'Donnell is being much more strategic. You know, we have got to now work very clever and smart in relation to the way he trains. And I suppose to give people an idea, I was over in Loughborough in the UK with Chris last week, attended two of his particular training sessions. 4 hours later, Chris went home. I was worn out more before he was worn out. So, you know, it was the warm-up, it was the running session, and then he was eating some food, and then he was doing some plyometric jumps work, and then eating some food, and then into the gym. You know, so it's pretty tough stuff. And but like all of that, the life of any athlete, an elite athlete, is it's not all about training. You got to plan the recovery, and adaptation to the training has to be very effective, you know, to progress on. But he's still very much gung-ho, but we just do need to be very clever and smart about how he trains now.
One final thought on Irish athletics, Roddy. You know, and I know they're different distances, like, but we've seen the breakthrough seasons for someone like Cian McPhillips and the Indian summer that someone like Mark English has had at the age of 32. Does that kind of, those different waves, does that help pull everybody along, or does Chris have to keep his mind kind of singular and do his own thing and not get too swept up in all that?
No, it most definitely brings people along. Coaching has really improved. You know, the coaching has really improved, and some of the Irish coaching has really improved. And look at the events that we are now starting to show that we can compete with the world's best in. We, you know, historically, you remember when I raced Austin, and it was always the middle distance. You know, but now we have top sprinters. Look at Kate O'Connor, a decathlete. You know, second in the world. You know, so it they all feed off each other. They all know each other. They all go on the circuit together, each other. So they definitely take an awful lot of confidence from each other when they see it. Now, that particular group that's going in the relay, that's been brilliant for Chris, you know, and he knows them all very well. And that's a big boost in terms of profiling Chris at an international level and giving him the opportunities to compete for European and
will
world titles.
Will he try and stay involved in the relay, do you think?
Oh, 100%, yeah. My plans of 10 years ago in terms of thinking about Chris moving to the 800 has never materialized, and he's not having any of it, so he's going to be a 400-meter runner.
Okay, Cathaoirleach Sligo County Council, Donal Gilroy, awarding the Freedom of County Sligo. I'm sure on a personal level you're honoured that it's going to a North Sligo man.
Absolutely. You know, Chris is one of the stars of Grange, has been. He's such a wonderful young man, and everything he does, he represents Grange, he represents Sligo, he represents Ireland with great dignity at everything he does. He's a great winner, and he's always dignified in defeat as well, and he always shows what's best about Sligo and about Sligo people. He's a fantastic athlete. He's so dedicated to his work, and he deserves everything that comes his way.
And the Freedom of County Sligo is a rare enough accolade?
It has never been given before, so he is going to be the first on the list. We'll be getting a new board installed here at County Hall, and his will be the first name. There will be other names, and I hope that next year's Olympics may actually put us under a bit of pressure with a few more in swimming, surfing, all of these areas. It's a great honour for me that I'm Cathaoir Lough when someone from my own little village gets such an outstanding award. And it really is, there's a lot of protocols and things like that that go into this. Last night I was speaking with the Cathaoir Lough of Louth County Council, and he was telling me that they are about to do that for Kate O'Connor. They're going to give her the freedom of County Louth. So we're all so proud, no matter where we're from, of our young people who are great achievers. We may have people who excel in other fields who we may wish to give such an honour to in the future, but we've started the ball rolling, and I'm glad I had my hand on getting it going.
Chris is still a young man, but listening to his address in council chamber, one thing that struck us, I think, was his pride in expressing his Sligo-ness.
Yes, indeed. I'd be looking over my shoulder. You know, he's so good at running. Might run in an election, and I'd be in trouble if he did. He's very articulate in how he speaks, but he has huge pride in where he comes from. His dad is a Donegal man, his mother is from Ballincar, and they've been part of society in Grange since they came to live there about, 25 years ago or 20 years ago, and they have been such a part of our society. They're a great family, and he's a great individual.
The Cathaoir Lough of Sligo County Council, Donal Gilroy, ending that report from Wednesday night's Freedom of County Sligo ceremony for North Sligo athlete Christopher O'Donnell. Well, Sligo's European surfing champion, Garóg McDaid, returns to El Salvador this weekend to compete in the sport's Global Tour Finals, which features the top finishers from the major championships and events around the world this season. McDaid competed at the same venue earlier this year in the World Championships, and this event, he feels, will be on a similar scale.
It's a contest where they invited the top four from the European Championships, the top four from the Asian Games, and then the top, I'm not sure how many, from the last Global Tour. So it is pretty much like a World Championship, so I'm still going, glad to be representing Ireland over here and looking forward to it.
And nice to be going as a European champion.
Yeah, exactly. It is always good to have those results, and gives you that confidence going into these kind of competitions. You're feeling good after the results you've had throughout the year, so it gives you that confidence boost. It's good.
How do you look back on this 2025 season? It's been a special one for you.
Yeah, this 2025 season has definitely been a special one. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. It's had its ups and downs. I started the year out with injury. I was out for like 4 or 5 months, and then it was kind of a good thing. It really helped me focus on my training and that, and it turned things around and just came back more excitement, more energy, and more motivation to do well.
Because you were injured at the start of the year, were your ambitions lowered this year as a result?
Not really. My motivation was higher coming back. Like, when you're out for a couple of months, you're frothing to get back to it as much as you can. So it just really motivated me to do better and really focus and put it, hopefully, I did pull it together, but it was the goal to pull it together after it.
In addition to the European goal, competing in the Worlds, you've just completed an 8th national senior surfing title, which is some going for any surfer in any era.
We had an amazing Europeans to win. That was so good. We had a bit of a struggle at the Worlds, but you take them as well. You can't win them all. You got to learn how to lose as well. And then, winning the 8th national title is amazing. It's continuing on the record I broke last year from taking over from Andy Hill, who's won 6. So, I'm super happy with how everything's going, and hopefully we can continue it on. And it's been amazing. Thanks to everybody for the support.
Just one question on the World Championships. I watched quite a lot of it on YouTube, the live feed, your heat, the 4 heats, and you're in the 4 different colours, and a surfer one has priority, etc. There is an element of luck, because you're banking on the swell to fall your way during your heat.
There is an element of luck, and especially out there on that wave, there was quite a lot of luck involved with how the waves broke, where the waves came, and all that kind of stuff. But you can't blame everything on luck. You make your own luck at these kind of competitions, and you really just have to be on the ball, make sure you're going to get the right whales, down to your choice of what whales you take off on. And yeah, unfortunately it didn't go my way this time, but hopefully the next World Championships, the ones that matter for the Olympic qualification, were the ones that the ones I do good in.
Yeah. And again, this is another question from my education. I saw other heats where guys broke the etiquette of priority because they needed to get in a wave before the time ran out. So three guys would be going for the same wave on some occasions.
Yeah, exactly. Just the way the wave was over there that the contest was on, it was super difficult. So it made everybody super hungry. And yeah, there was a lot of interferences, a lot of stuff that you wouldn't normally see a contest. So yeah, it was just one of those things. And yeah, that's how it goes. You gotta take what you can get sometimes. And yeah, sometimes it doesn't always go your way.
Last question, you're starting a new Olympic cycle now. Is Los Angeles on Gareth McDay's radar?
Yeah, for sure. The Olympic cycle is starting. We haven't fully heard of how to qualify yet. I guess they're going to release it coming into January when they announce the 2026 Worlds. But it's fully what I'm looking forward to, my goals are for the next 3 years to try qualify for that. So yeah, it's what we're aiming for now.
Gareth McDade on the ALAS Global Tour Finals, which start on Monday in El Salvador. And three young North Sligo surfers are getting ready to compete at next month's Junior World Championships in Peru. Darragh Martin, Daniel McSharry and Rory Murphy are members of the Donegal Bay Board Riders Surf Club. Gilmartin and McSharry have qualified at under 18 level, while Murphy will compete in the under 16 grade. The surfers are funding their own trip to South America. They're trying to raise 10 grand to cover travel, accommodation and all the various costs associated with representing Ireland at a championships of this scale. Well, Ocean of M Sport has been speaking to the North Sligo trio this week about the championships and their fundraising for it, starting with Darragh Martin, who already has some experience of the Junior Worlds.
So I've been to one of the World Juniors before. I was in Brazil and I was under 16 that time. So it's the same idea, 12 people out, few coaches. But it went really well. You know, I kind of have the idea of it. You get there, you train, it's up early every morning, you know, you have to work hard, you're trying to keep up with all the other countries in the world, like, so, you know, it's hard work, but I'm used to it now, so just repeat the same in Peru.
So was it on your to-do list to get back here again?
It was, yeah. When I saw it the first time, I knew I'd have to come back again. So I had loads of fun the first time, you know, the whole dynamic of it. So coming back again had to be done. Yeah, it was definitely on my bucket list.
Okay, and for Dara and Rory, you're both under 18, which I think is the last age wave of junior, is it? So were you trying to catch a wave here?
Yeah, this is me and Dara's last year, so this was like a really important one for us. Like last year it was the Euros in Portugal and neither of us made the team, so we were like really motivated to make this team now for Peru. And yeah, we're straight into seniors now after this, so yeah, it means a lot to get to Peru.
Have you been to Peru before?
No, nowhere near it. I don't know what it's like, don't know who lives there, what language they speak. I think it's Spanish, but yeah, no, I can't wait. It's going to be such an experience.
Yeah. Would you have come up against South American surfers in your surfing today?
I've never really competed outside Europe, so the most kind of foreign surfers I'd compete against is like Morocco and maybe a couple South Africans. But this will be my first proper like international event, so it'll be cool to see all the South Americans and North Americans and Asians and how they surf and get to meet them all.
Okay. So Rory, you're as under 16, this is new terrain for you.
Yeah, it's new terrain. I've been on one trip with the team. I was on the Euros trip last year, which was nice. But this is my first ever trip to one of the world's events, so I'm pretty stoked about it.
One thing that strikes me watching the live YouTube feeds of international surfing guys, particularly at adult level, let's say the World Championships in El Salvador earlier this year, there is an element of getting the swell to be right for you when you're one of the four in your heat out there. You do need a little bit of luck. Does it apply at underage as well that way?
Oh yeah, like luck is completely involved. Like if you're kind of a surfer who likes bigger waves and the competition is held in like barely surfable waves, like up to your waist, it makes like such a difference. And if you don't get like, if you don't wait for the best wave to come through in that heat, then like you probably won't get a decent enough score to pass. So a lot of it is luck and seeing if you actually get the best waves.
Dara, when you see someone like from down the road from you, Gawaj McDead, win European gold for Ireland during the summer, he's probably somebody you've surfed with, yeah, and maybe against in some local competitions, yeah, yeah, over the years. That must have an effect.
Yeah, it puts a fire in your belly to see an Irish fella doing that. You know, he's putting the Irish name up on the stage. Like, he's one of the first to really push the boundaries for Ireland. So for us to be going into seniors now soon, we're coming up behind him. It's definitely, it's definitely a kick up the arse to work harder, to surf better. You know, he is surfing far better than ours. So he's kind of the goal that's been set out for us.
I mean, Irish surfing always had a pretty good reputation, but it has been amplified now.
It has, yeah. Irish surfing's, it's doing really well. You know, we have some great surfers these days. You know, there's juniors going around to events all over Europe. There's Garrod, you know, winning the big contests, doing the big waves. So seeing what Irish surfing's becoming is amazing. Now, not that we don't have a great history. We've had plenty of amazing international surfers in the past, but I think the modern surfing is really epic here.
Now, Peru is a bit further away, guys, than La Hinch or the peak in Bundoran or Tremor. Have you worked out how much it's going to cost you this trip?
Yeah, so we have to raise, I think it's over $3,000 each.
3.2 or something.
3.2 yeah. Grand each to go. So we've been doing bucket collections. We've had like a GoFundMe up. We've been getting sponsors from companies, and we have, I think it's out of the $10,000 that we have to raise between us three, we have $3,000 left to raise. So we're just hoping that people donate to the GoFundMe, or maybe we do another bucket collection or something.
And this is to help fund the flights, the accommodation, the food, the board, all that you need, yeah, for the duration of the World Championships.
Yeah, the whole 12-day trip is going to be covered then, like food, accommodation, like everything. So yeah, once we have the extra $3,000 raised, then we're kind of sorted.
There's probably a debate, guys, to be had. It's not for your conversation about the level of funding surfing gets in Ireland. Yeah. And arguably, Gareth McDade's medal during the summer would argue the case for increasing it. But it sounds like you've raised a fair bit of money already, Rory.
Yeah, we're doing well enough. I mean, Garrod doing well in international events like that or European events definitely kind of helps to get the word out about surfing in Ireland and kind of raise awareness about, you know, the sport, and because we have such good waves here and we have such a high even standard of surfing at the moment. It's kind of, you know, it's strange how little money there is in the sport. So it's really nice to see some more like awareness about it and that.
In an ideal world, would you have ambitions to try and make a living out of this sport?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting career to pick. You know, you're traveling the whole time. You're working your ass off in tiny waves, competitions all over the world. You're nonstop traveling, like, and it's a hard job. You know, Garrod really shows us what commitment it takes. So if I wanted to do it as a full-time job, yeah, I'd like to try it. I think it's definitely looks interesting. There's a lot of excitement behind it, a lot of nerves, ups and downs. But I think you just have to be able to take all that if you want to do surfing for your life.
What about these World Championships then, guys? Whether it's under 16 or under 18, are there marquee names out there on the international stage, even at these age groups, or is it kind of stepping into the unknown?
There's for sure some names that we'd, you know, would really ring a bell for the international stage. Like, I'm not 100% sure about all the under 16s, but there's loads of, you know, under 18s, even from around Europe, like Lucas from England, Dylan Donegan from Spain. There's a couple more, yeah. What other under 18s are there?
Well, there's probably a couple from Portugal. Like, there's loads of good surfers all around Europe, and we're going to be competing against surfers now from like Australia Brazil. Like the standard is going to be nuts. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting, even just to like meet people from like all around the world, and we probably make a couple of friends on the way. So yeah, I can't wait.
And do the junior worlds operate the same way the seniors do, where you're in heats of four and you try and work your way through the rounds or the repechage?
Yeah, it's the exact same. It's four people in a heat, and you've got to be top two in the heat to progress to the next round. So the stress is on. You're going into your heat nervous. You know, you have to do better than two other guys in your heat, and you do get put into the repechage rounds if you get knocked out. So you have a chance to make it back. If you surf really well, you can pull it back and get to the final stages. But yeah, it's the same format as the senior contests.
One thing that struck me during the World Senior Championships in El Salvador was where, when the priority for a surfer in a heat goes wrong. And yeah, what I mean by that is you take it in turns to surf the wave, and a particular surfer, you're all in different colors, has the priority. But it happened in one heat where three guys took on the wave at the same time. Does that happen often?
It does, yeah. I mean, when you're out there and you don't have priority and you really need a score, you're going to be gunning for any wave you can get. And yeah, when there's multiple people doing the same thing who also want to make the heat, you know, everyone has that drive to try and win. So yeah, things can get intense. Priority mistakes can be made. And
are words exchanged out on the waves, guys, if someone is cutting across you, or you would judge that they have?
Usually not. Usually you try to kind of stay as respectful as possible, I guess. But there is a few people who can kind of be shouting names in the water, shouting slurs. We won't name them though. Yeah. Kind of in every sport it'll be like that. There'll be a few assholes who just don't really, you know, follow the respectful rules, I guess.
What, guys, are your ambitions for these World Championships? Is it about just getting as much experience as you can?
Well, I'm going to try pass as much heats as I can, like just try get as far as I can in the comp, like see how far my surfing can take me. So yeah, I don't have any specific goals, like pass, like maybe make it to like the semis or something. Like, I'm just kind of, this is my first time like going abroad with the Irish team, so I'm kind of just gonna like let go and see how far I get and just have fun the whole time.
Darren, what about you?
We've put the work in, you know, we've done all the surfing, we've spent years in freezing water coming out with sore fingers, red noses. So, you know, it's not about, you know, thinking about a goal and panicking. It's just getting over there, settling into it, and yeah, just surfing your best. You don't want to be thinking too much or putting too much pressure on yourself. It's just let your surfing do the talking.
It'll be a balmy 20 something degrees in Peru, will it?
Yeah, won't be anything like here. We won't know what it's like at all. But no, hopefully the sun will do us well.
And Rory, at under 16 level, what are you hoping for?
So last year, the day I came home from the European Championships, I set my goal for the Worlds as top 30, and that goal hasn't changed. That'll still be kind of what I'm working towards, top 30 in the Worlds.
Very good. Well, you sound determined, men. And if people want to support your trip to Peru, you have a GoFundMe page, Daniel?
Yeah, we have a GoFundMe. What's the Instagram now of Donegal Bay?
Yeah, the GoFundMe will be on any of our Instagrams. It'll be Dara Gilly, Daniel McSherry, and Rory Murphy Surf. So if you go to any of our Instagrams or the Donegal Bay Board Riders Instagram, the link will be in the bio. So anyone can go donate. Feel free. You know, we do really need the help. It's just that last bit to raise to get us there.
I forgot to ask, is it Spanish or Portuguese in Peru, do we know?
It's Spanish, yeah. So we'll be practicing all our...
Have you got a few words, you do? A
couple.
Okay. Guys, good luck in South America.
Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
Dara Gilmartin, Daniel McSherry and Rory Murphy, the three North Sligo surfers who are part of the 12-strong Ireland team heading to Peru next month for the Junior World Surfing Championships. The championships run from the 5th to the 12th of December. If you'd like to support the trio's fundraiser, you can find their GoFundMe page online right now. Well, Sligo will break new ground in the Connaught College's Senior A Football Championship this Friday evening when a combined Sligo Secondary Schools team contests the Provincial A Championship alongside Summerhill College. The new Sligo post-primary school side is made up of footballers from six schools across the county: Cloche de Wirra Ballymote, St Mary's Ballasadare, Grange post-primary school, Coolah post-primary school, Cloche de Iskey and Jesus and Mary secondary school in Enniscrone. The team is being managed by Bernard Feeney and David Giblin, with teaching support from Sligo GAA coaches James Mitchell and Conor Gormley. Now, the new Sligo team will play their opening match of Group 2 on Friday evening in Mayo against St Gerald's of Castlebar at Park GAA grounds. Sligo GAA's Limo Gormley has been explaining the rationale behind this new combined colleges team for the county.
To give lads the opportunity, I suppose, in their final year to a school to play at the top level of colleges football within the province and get an opportunity to play football against the best colleges throughout the province. Like I said, Summerhill has a strong tradition of playing football. Attractors has played between A and B football the last number of years, and I suppose the rest of the schools in the county, the majority are playing in D and E colleges level. Clare will be C level, but it's just to give them the opportunity to play level football and get them a really, I suppose, the exposure to pretend top level colleges football.
And this is not a new phenomenon. Leitrim and Donegal have had versions of a combined team in recent seasons in their respective colleges championships. And what's the feedback been like? Positive?
The feedback so far, the buy-in from the young lads and the players has been excellent so far. Like it's like I suppose it's this year for us is really about getting it off the ground and see can we make it part of our programme here within the coaching and games programme in the county. Like in all fairness, the buy-in from the young lads from all the schools has been absolutely superb. The support from county board level has been excellent. Like it's probably one of Declan Rouse's key things that he wanted to get done. So the support there has been brilliant as well. And because they have a facility like Scared to be able to bring the lads, especially with the new Astros and stuff, that you know you can do the training sessions. You don't have to call off training sessions. It's excellent all round, but the buy-in from the young lads has been brilliant. And look at this, is hopefully we'll be competitive within it, and the lads will enjoy the experience.
You have six schools involved in the combined team, ranging from Jesus and Mary Secondary School in Enniscrone, Cloche de Iskey, to Grange Post Primary School, Coolah, Cloche de Wirra, and St Mary's in Ballasadare. And am I right in saying, Limoke, these players effectively get two bites at the cherry? They can play for their own individual school in the lower tier colleges competitions, but then they can also be part of the combined Sligo A Championship team.
Yeah, that's one of the really important pieces of it, that they still represent the school, and it's the most important thing to represent, because that's the people that are putting them through their education. They're the people, that's the area of where they're from. So it's very important that they play for the school. And that's the message that very much goes out from, I suppose, Bernard and David from the teacher's point of view, and also James and Connor from the staff point of view, that the school games are very important. But also, it's a great opportunity to play a couple of levels higher, further up for the combined schools team, and get a different type of experience, and have a very good experience leaving their school time. One that they consider the first ones to do it. Like,
and the opening game for Sligo this Friday evening.
Yeah, they're playing Gerald's, I suppose. You couldn't have got a much harder game to start off with, where you're playing St Gerald's College, who are one of the aristocrats of Connacht football over the last probably 10 to 15 years. They'll be very, very tough opposition, and they're always at the top end of the semi-finals and finals part of the calendar year. So, yeah, it's a tough game on Friday evening. But look, the big thing here is about the experience and the exposure to playing a really high level of football. And like, the lads have done fantastic work. Like the work put in by James Mitchell and Conor Gormley from the staff point of view, and David Giblin in Ballasadare, and Bernard Feeney in Cloche de Wirra Ballymote has been superb. Like, they're the ones that have really pulled it together, and they're the ones that are making it a success at the moment. So I wish them the very, very best of luck in it.
That's Liam O'Gormley on the new Sligo post-primary schools team, who play St Gerald's of Castlebar this Friday evening in Park GAA Club in Mayo at 6:30. Summerhill College also in action in the A Championship, their opening game as a standalone side. They play on Friday in Group 1 against Ballinrobe at home, that's at noon. The Leitrim Combined Schools team play their opening match against Clare Galway in Carrick on Shannon on Friday at 12:30, that's in Group 2. And St Attractors Community School Tubbercurry, they're in the Connacht Senior B Championship this year, and they open their championship on Friday morning with a home match against Ballyhonus at 11:15. While in Ulster, we have an all Donegal Ulster Colleges McCrory Cup Group A game on Friday night in Ardrath. Last season's finalist Abbey Vocational School Donegal Town play South West Donegal at 8:15. A reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're taking a break next Thursday. We're back with you in 2 weeks' time. Same time, same place.